From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Fear and uncertainty. Those are two of the emotions many Democrats feel about President Joe Biden's reelection chances following his debate performance last month with former President Donald Trump. If those widespread concerns continue, how might they affect close congressional races in California this fall? And could a high-profile California Democrat step in if President Joe Biden steps aside? Joining us to discuss those topics is Melanie Mason, a senior political reporter covering California politics at Politico. Melanie, welcome back to Insight.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I'd like to start by talking a little bit about a lead of a story you co-wrote last week as a jumping off point to our conversation. I'll read it, and then I'd like to see if the concerns that you documented about President Biden are the same this week. And of course, we'll talk about how California fits into all of this. So last week, July 3rd, you and your colleagues at Politico wrote, quote, "A pervasive sense of fear and uncertainty about President Joe Biden's electoral prospects has taken hold among the very Democratic delegates poised to nominate him, even among the many who say they still back him. Some are going so far as to say he should step aside." Again, that article published 1 week ago. Where do things stand today in terms of fear and uncertainty about Biden?
I don't think that there have been any changes when it comes to fear and uncertainty. I think that what we have seen is this very rapid pendulum shifts between how publicly or privately such fears have been expressed. I think if we were talking at the earlier part of the week, I think that Democrats were being a bit more circumspect. I think that because President Biden was saying, "I'm staying in this race, I'm not going anywhere," I think that Democrats were feeling very uneasy voicing these concerns publicly. But I think that we have seen, even in the last 24 hours, another narrative shift. And so all eyes are going to be on this press conference that he's given. I think that that's going to be this opportunity to really gauge how much he can assuage some of those fears. But the bottom line is that the root problem is this a question about aging? This is something that can't be reversed. This is a question that is going to dog him, not just about his ability to execute a campaign through November, but if he can govern for 4 years. And so it's a really tall order to address some of those concerns.
You talked about the different ways those fears are being expressed or maybe not expressed. Let's talk about how they're being discussed here in California. What are Democrats in California's congressional delegation saying about President Biden right now? For example, are most still supporting him? Have any spoken out and said he should step aside?
There have been a few that have spoken out, including Congressman Mark Decano and others. I think that what we've heard now more recently, and I think the most telling and most interesting person to speak out, is former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, where they're saying that they're looking to Biden to make his decision and that they hope he makes the right decision soon. And the reason we're sort of parsing that's interesting is that Biden has said he's made his decision. And what we're hearing from prominent Californians is maybe make another decision and then, you know, and then we'll weigh in. And so that in of itself, to me, it's not a public, he should step down, but that's pretty darn close. And I do think that, again, there could be more of the floodgates opening in the next couple of days. But even just that sign of Biden saying, "I'm sticking around," and then hearing people like Congresswoman, former Speaker Pelosi saying, "We'll wait for your decision," to me, that says a lot.
Yeah, I think her comments really caught a lot of people's attentions, that's for sure. You know, as you know, Melanie, California, we often have at least a handful of very competitive House races each election cycle in the Central Valley, sometimes in Southern California. And we know control of the House could come down to just a few seats. So how does the current lack of confidence in President Biden complicate those tight races, at least for Democrats?
I think that it's wildly complicated. I mean, to take a step back, I don't think that anybody is saying that Biden would likely lose the state of California in the presidential race. And California is still a blue state. It has these liberal hubs such as Los Angeles and San Francisco that almost certainly, it would be shocking, quite frankly, if Trump won statewide in California. But if you're looking at some of these key districts, that's where you could see some pretty for Democrats, at least, horrific down ballot effects, because in a lot of these races, these are districts that Biden had won in 2020. And so the fact that his coattails may be non-existent, and in fact, what we've seen from some internal polling, even before the disastrous debate performance, is that some of these Democrats were outrunning Biden, just goes to show that it is such an uphill climb now for these Democrats, who I think going into this cycle felt like they were going to be on offense in some of these House races. They felt good about the fact that they were taking on vulnerable incumbent Republicans who were sitting in districts that had voted for Joe Biden in 2020. Now that really changes the equation, and it puts the onus on these individual Democrats who are not as well known, who don't have very strong name ID or individual brands, and have to outperform where the president would likely be running.
You know, when I look at Politico's reporting, your organization talked about Democratic candidates trying to unseat these Republican incumbents that you mentioned in the close House races here in California, that they might be even more reluctant to speak out against President Biden. Can you explain why that might be?
You know, these candidates, they're kind of in such a bind. They're damned if they do and damned if they don't, right? And I'll take the example of Will Rollins, who was running in the Palm Springs, Riverside area to unseat Ken Calvert. He came very close in 2022, has been and is seen as a very promising Democratic candidate, has been a fundraising juggernaut, and was under a lot of pressure precisely because Mark Decano, who represents a nearby area, had come forward with his opinion that Biden should step aside to say, well, what do you think? And he came forward and gave us a statement and gave the local newspaper, the Press Enterprise, a statement that said, you know, I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is, whether that's Joe Biden or somebody else, and then tried to turn it to say to Congressman Calvert, you know, do you really represent stand by Trump? And he immediately got hammered by the National Republican Congressional Committee for saying Will Rollins is going to stand by Joe Biden, even if he's who's clearly not capable of serving out. Meanwhile, the Democrats who haven't said anything are getting hammered by the NRCC for not saying anything at all and dodging the question. And so I think that these candidates who, again, don't have individual brands, they don't have as well entrenched followings as perhaps members of Congress who have been elected year over year, they're under a tremendous amount of pressure to say something. But whatever they say or don't say then finds its way into a campaign press release from the other side.
Yeah, they can't really win no matter what they say, it sounds like. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Politico reporter Melanie Mason about President Joe Biden and how concerns about his electability might filter down here in California. Melanie, let's talk about two high-profile politicians from California, Vice President Kamala Harris and, of course, Governor Gavin Newsom. Both have been mentioned as at least potential replacements if President Joe Biden was to step aside. Let's start with Vice President Harris. How likely is it that Harris would be the top choice to replace Biden, and how much support does she have nationally?
I think that in some ways, Harris is the most obvious or most logical person, right? Because she's in the administration. It's the Biden-Harris ticket right now. She does have that national name ID. And more importantly, I think that it would be seen as incredibly problematic within the Democratic Party if she were passed over or looked over, in part because she is a Black Indian woman, the first Black vice president, the first female vice president, the first Asian American vice president. There's so many firsts, and she represents such key parts of the Democratic coalition. And to sort of move her aside without necessarily articulating a reason why, I think would pose some very legitimate questions about why that may be. I think that where Democrats feel a little bit nervous is that throughout the Biden-Harris administration tenure, her polling numbers have not been great. She's had some sort of awkward missteps, and she just hasn't seemed to really have any really strong breakout moments, particularly in the early parts of her vice presidency. I think she began to find her footing in the last year or so. But still, you have a lot of Democrats who are nervous, who look at her previous run for president in 2019 and 2020, which wasn't really able to get off the ground. She had to pull out even before there were votes cast in the first caucus. And I think that they are concerned. But that being said, she is the vice president. She would be the natural heir to this ticket. And so I think that any conversation about replacing Biden at the top of the ticket, I think that naturally the conversation would turn to Harris.
If I remember her performance at that time, she did score some points in some of the debates. She seemed to be use her past skills as a prosecutor pretty well in some of those. But let's move to California's governor, Gavin Newsom. How much would he be considered a possible replacement if Biden steps aside? And sort of the same question, is there really, national support for his candidacy?
They see him as a very strong spokesperson for Democratic values. He's somebody who likes to get in the ring on places like Fox News and sort of go toe-to-toe with Trump or with Ron DeSantis. And I think that Democrats nationally kind of like the fighting spirit that he has shown. But I think that so long as Biden remains at the top of the ticket, Newsom has constantly tried to play the role of good soldier. He has consistently swatted down any sort of hints that he would be trying to come for Biden's job. I think that he really wants to demonstrate that he is a loyal surrogate. And so I think that he is going to, and has been so far, being very cautious to not make any moves that would publicly be interpreted of him sort of positioning himself for that. He's got the buzz. I mean, as soon as that debate performance happened by President Biden, people were already talking about Newsom. So he doesn't have to get out there and generate it that much. But that being said, unlike Vice President Harris, he has not run a national campaign. He hasn't undergone the vetting that she has. And I think that California can be often used as a cudgel by Republicans against Democrats because they see California as sort of liberal values gone awry, the liberals taking over and use California as sort of an attack line. So for him as the governor of California, you could see Republicans potentially being very excited to use that against him. So I think that he is trying to still remain the part of the good soldier. I think that if there are conversations happening, they are happening very, very back channel, very hush hush. He has said publicly that he would not run against Vice President Harris should she be at the top of the ticket. And I think that that makes sense for the reasons we talked about before. I think that he knows that optically it would look pretty terrible for him to try to elbow out somebody who's been a friend or maybe a frenemy for so many years in California politics. And I think that he is young enough to think perhaps that looking ahead towards 2028 and beyond, he can maybe preserve goodwill for the future.
Melanie, you mentioned Republicans and you'll be traveling this week to the Republican National Convention. I'm wondering, how do you think the GOP party is going to use this moment to their advantage, this vulnerability that Biden has shown?
Republicans have been saying since Biden was inaugurated in 2021, or even before that, Sleepy Joe, Biden is not up for the job. They have been sending video clips around of him looking old and infirm. And I think that Republicans now get to say, we told you so. We've been saying this for years. So I do think that there's a real, I don't necessarily want to say giddiness, maybe in some corners giddiness, but in other corners, just a sense of validation that they had been making this argument to the voters and that they felt like that had been dismissed perhaps as partisan attacks. And they say, look at what you saw in the debate, you saw it for your own eyes. That being said, I think what's going to be really interesting is how Republicans, and what I'll be looking for in Milwaukee, is how Republicans feel about a potential mix-up in the ticket. Donald Trump has been running a campaign against Joe Biden, and that is really how the campaign has been geared. There was an excellent article in The Atlantic recently by Tim Alberta that looks at how the Trump campaign has been built to run against Joe Biden and to exploit what they see as his vulnerabilities. If all of a sudden there's a change at the top of the ticket and they have to change that strategy, I think that that's going to cause at least a little bit of concern. Yes, I think that the chaos in some ways Republicans will be ecstatic about. They love to see Democrats in disarray. But it also means that they have to go back to the drawing board and come up with a new strategy. And I think that there may be a little bit of unease if they have another opponent that they have to face.
And just in our last few seconds here, Melanie, is there an expectation that Trump might announce a running mate at the convention this week?
I think that we will know who the running mate is by the end of the convention. He is going to have a rally, I believe, in rural Pennsylvania or nearby, in kind of the Pennsylvania-Ohio border area, coming up the next few days. And I think there's a lot of speculation that there could be an announcement then. But certainly by the end of the convention, we'll know what the full ticket is. And usually that's, you know, between the announcement of a running mate and just sort of a convention bump in general, the nominees usually come out of conventions with a little bit of a polling boost. What'll be so interesting is if you have the split screen of chaos and upheaval in the Democratic Party at the same time as the RNC, I wonder how much that drowns out what would typically be a pretty positive news cycle for the Republican ticket.
Well, we will watch for that. And Melanie, we will continue to follow your reporting. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Melanie Mason is a senior political reporter covering California politics at Politico. Up next, heat waves have killed hundreds of Californians and cost billions of dollars in the past decade. We'll break down a new report from the state insurance department that tallies these losses. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Chris Nichols.